Welcome to Live and Love Your Brand, a podcast to support you in sharing your message and mission with the world. I'm your host, Emma Lovell. I'm lovely by name, lovely by nature. I'm a personal branding specialist with a mission to support female entrepreneurs to live and love their brand. I've been running my business, Lovely Communications, for more than 12 years, and I can hand on heart say that my success has come from the strength of my personal brand. I believe in the power of owning and sharing our story. I want to help you own your story, shop consistently, and really put yourself out there. So here on the podcast, you'll find helpful tips, practical exercises, and joyful discussions that will inspire you to reconnect with your brand and communicate it more effectively. I'll be joined by incredible experts to discuss how personal branding can have a huge impact on your business and on your life. I'd love to hear from you, so please make sure to connect over on social media. You can find me on Instagram, at lovelycomms, that's L-O-V-E-L-L-Y, double the L means double the life. Facebook, Lovely Communications, and you can join in the conversation in our lovely community, the Live and Love Your Brand Facebook group. Of course, make sure to come back weekly as each new episode drops. I can't wait to share with you how to gain clarity, build confidence, and increase connections, all by sharing your unique personal brand with the world. Lovely Communications is based on the Gold Coast and recognises Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the first peoples of this place, now known as Australia. We are grateful for the continuing care of the lands, waterways and skies where we work, live, listen, learn and play. From here on Yugambeh country and from wherever you are listening, we respect the elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to the podcast. I can't wait to introduce you to Lisa Mulligan, the founder and CEO of The Culture Ministry. Lisa actually had me on her podcast talking all about diversity and inclusion with a focus on mental health aspect. And I, of course, wanted to return the favour, but not just because it was the favour, because Lisa is thoroughly interesting. I love the topic of diversity and inclusion, but more than that, I love her story. And I love how she has gone out on her own, created her business, is really making this her focus point and living and breathing her brand. It's so wonderful to see. And you're going to hear all about that story and how she came to be doing that on this episode. So Lisa says she's the founder and CEO of The Culture Ministry. She's a diversity and inclusion consulting business focusing on getting organizations and diversity inclusion professionals started on their progress journey. She usually has pink hair and she loves wearing sequins. So of course we get on famously. No further ado, please welcome Lisa Mulligan. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa Mulligan.
Thank you so much, Emma. It's so nice to finally record with you.
Very I know exciting. It's one of those things. It's been the gift that keeps on giving with us having to reschedule, but we're here. And awesome. I love to kick off with just something, an easy question to start with. I want to know, in your words, who are you?
Who am I? Well, I'm a veteran of working in really big companies in the people space. So I've worked in HR roles and organizational development roles, and more recently diversity and inclusion. And that's something I'm really passionate about. And so recently I left the corporate world and started my own business called The Culture Ministry, which I have two kind of focus areas for that work. I work with organizations who are getting started with diversity and inclusion, and I work with diversity and inclusion professionals who are just getting started. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. And tell me, because it's a fun one, we don't always include this, but how do we know each other?
So it's an interesting story because I think when you start a podcast, sometimes you don't know where the guests are going to come and or come from. And so when I started mine, I was like, I wrote down a few names and I thought, we'll see how we go. But I kind of didn't know where my guests were going to come from, basically. I started with my friends. And yes. And then a few years ago, it was probably 2018 or 2019, Business Chicks, who we are both members of. So Business Chicks is an incredible women's networking group based in Australia. And they did a feature on podcasts you should be listening to. And yours was featured and mine was featured, which was so nice. And more recently, I have a guest manager and she helps me find guests and helps me manage my guests. And she said, why don't we contact all the people who were featured in that article? There were some incredible women running podcasts in that article and see if they'll come on your podcast. And I was like, yes, let's do that. And so that's how we connected.
It was such an honor. And like, I saw the name of your podcast, it's like, okay, cool. And then the topic was around diversity. It's like, cool. And then the surprise to me was because of that Business Chicks article, it was actually my travel podcast. And I have 87 episodes. Fun fact for anyone who doesn't know, I've mentioned it a few times here, but not always. I was a travel podcaster before I started the business one. And absolutely still love it. Wish I had time to do it more. And it's just on a long pause. But, you know, the topic was mental health that we ended up covering.
And yeah. I thought we were going to talk about how travel builds kindness and understanding, because when you're in different situations and different cultures, you learn so much about those cultures, but also about yourself and your own biases. But I didn't know your mental health story. And so that was really interesting to learn about. And it's so relevant to my audience and the work that I do. So
I loved it. Yeah, I loved that difference. But because for me, diversity definitely goes straight to racial. And then the next one it would go to is disability. Mm-hmm. So to think about it in terms of, and like mental illness for many, it can be a disability. It is disabling, not in a classic sense, but in some senses. And then, you know, and obviously I'd probably put gender diversity as the last one, because I'm like, should be a basic, but it's still not.
But it's not.
It's not. So it was really interesting. And then, you know, if you go across inclusion, because, yeah, it still can be stigmatized. And it was really nice to go back. And, I mean, abridged version, I'm pretty sure I've shared about some of my mental health on this podcast. We haven't heard. I had depression at age 7, post-traumatic stress and depression. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bouts of anxiety over the years. And, you know, I'm so happy to talk about it, because I think people, like, I'm literally today wearing a rainbow jumper. And I think people can be like, oh, Emma's just a rainbow, happy, sparkly unicorn. And it's like, I got shit going on too.
Yeah, everyone has shit going on.
So, you know, I don't need to walk around with a badge about that, but it definitely helps you to have an understanding. And I loved what you said about travel too, and that opens that up. And I think I love travel for that perspective and worldview. But like, why, you know, you're a diversity rock star. Love that. I saw that. they don't probably usually go hand in hand. But she does have a hot pink hand.
I do.
Pink hair, not hands. how did you get into focusing on diversity, or why do you focus on diversity?
I focus on it because, look, I think there was always a core value around fairness and people having equal access to things in life, in communities, in organisations. I worked pretty much all of my career in very male-dominated industrial businesses, and like fantastic businesses. And I love going out and visiting a warehouse or being up a crane on a port, or, you know, visiting a site and having all my PPE. Like, I love all that, and I love those businesses. But I was always the only woman, or there were some other women, but they were the admins, or they were in customer service roles. And so it was always like, well, this is great that I was smart enough and I worked hard enough and I had all the privilege to be able to move my career up through the ranks in these organizations, but not happy that there weren't women there with me. And then the other thing that happened was my oldest son, who's now 14, when he was born with a condition called albinism, which most people know the term albino, and they think of white mice with red eyes. That is not albinism, but he is very white. So he has ocular cutaneous albinism. It means he's got very pale skin, very pale hair, and you need pigment in your retina to see well. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't have pigment in his retina, and so he's vision impaired. So, you know, all of a sudden you work out that the world is not built for people who are different.
Yeah.
And for people who are vision impaired, certainly there are challenges. So, you know, I've had to become an advocate, and that advocacy has changed over the years, and you know, organizations need to cope with all different kinds of difference. So I guess that's why I'm passionate about it.
I just like, yeah, just the way it looks as well, and people's perceptions of it. Like, it just, when you don't have exposure to that, or you haven't really known someone, you know, you don't know that, like, how much of an ableist world it is. Mm. And, you know, even so I volunteered, you know, with an organisation called, yeah, Disabled Winter Sport Australia, and I had a vision impaired, like, you know, it's like blind. We used to only say blind. It's like, yeah, you know, there's gradients there, yep, there's levels, and it's degenerate. Like, for my client, it was degenerative. Mm. Member, it was degenerative. So she had to go through that process of losing the sight, and that constant adjustment. And we used, yeah, to go snowboarding together. And so then,
oh, wow,
she'd get really upset because we'd have to wear these vests that said blind skier. And one, she's not blind. Two, she's not a skier. We were snowboarders. So it was like, this is so unfair, like putting me in a basket. But yeah, the things that you would not really like lighting was a big deal for her, like lighting, yeah, and she would get really distressed when it would get cloudy, and then that would really affect her depth perception,
yep,
which, when we're in a mountain going fast, is problematic. What I said to her, though, and look, I was like, I cannot imagine what it's like for you, but I do, the only thing I can like associate with it is when it's cloudy or it's foggy, none of us can see well on the mountain. So yours would be a more dramatic change, and obviously it like creates a lot of fear, but I can't see very well if it's foggy or cloudy too.
Yeah.
Well, I have to adapt and trust my feet and trust that I know how to stop and or just go a bit slower, or we have to communicate more. Like, yeah, I have to shout out. Like, I didn't realize I was going on spot. I see it's da-da-da. She was like, you need to tell me when it's going down. You can't tell that it's a slope. Like, I was like, oh, going down now. I thought that was obvious, but no, it's like a steep incline. And I was like, oh, but like, learned so much from that. And but we shouldn't have to wait till we have exposure to somebody to create this awareness.
But it's why we have podcasts, right?
True. So now you all know. Teach people. Now we learned a thing today. But you know, you said though, so you've done the diversity work. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you've worked in a lot of corporates, but the business, I don't know if you said it before, but like, it's pretty new, right?
Yeah, it's really new. I'd started some things as a side hustle, but I went full time in June 2022. So.
And it's April 2023 now, so
I know.
You haven't even had your first birthday.
I haven't had my first birthday.
I hope you're planning something lovely.
I think I need to. You I definitely, yeah.
Adding more things to your to-do list. But yeah. Why did you start the business? And when you say start the business, did you start it beforehand, or did you sort of like work in the background, or was it like, I'm outie, hello business?
There were two reasons. One was I wanted to have more control over my fate. And I think a lot of people think that working in big organizations, particularly ones that have a good brand, are very secure and you'll always have a job. And that is not the reality. It has never been the reality in the businesses I've worked in. And now we've seen the big tech companies where everyone wants to work and have never really done big redundancy drives are now doing that. So, I just wanted to be in control of my destiny. And it was because I accepted a promotion to move my family to the UK. And after I got there, my role was made redundant after 2 months. Yeah. And so, like, nothing is certain in life. But I did want to have a bit more, I want to control my destiny a little bit better than that. So there was that. The other thing was, like, I've always liked my jobs and I feel like I've done a good job, but I always felt there was something missing in them. And like, what was missing for me? And I could never really work it out. And I might do a leadership course and there might be a personality questionnaire. And, you know, all of those kind of assessments would say I'm in the right job, but was never quite. And it wasn't until I left the corporate world, it was just having that sense of autonomy. And I think because I'd been in a role prior to that where I didn't feel like I had autonomy, I didn't feel like I had control of or any direction. So I just love waking up every day and working so hard on something that I love, that I'm passionate about, and that I can make my own decisions about.
I love that. Yeah. I loved what you said about control over your fate. Like, yeah. And but that's a big thing. Like, you know, it probably, maybe it was coming for a while, but that's a huge, such a lot of people are so scared to do that and don't even see it as an option for them.
Yeah.
So the fact that you did that, I mean, it's very courageous.
Yes, it was. my husband was not happy.
Yeah. But it, you know, there's only so long that we can do that and fight against, you know, and I think like that's the thing, like you said, it's on paper. I know my husband did a test and it was like, you're exactly in the space you want to be, but he was too niche down. So he didn't have opportunities for growth. Or it's like, you might be in the right industry, you might be doing the right things. It's just not the right organization for you. It's not, if we talk about culture, there's not the right culture for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are suited to this work. But, you know, otherwise you're running around going, well, what's the answer? What's the answer? Or you're going, well, this company will fix it. Or this company will
fix it. Like, yeah.
Maybe I'm not meant to be in a company.
I want to run my own, right?
Yeah. That's
so cool. I love it.
I love it. And so obviously that's a huge change. You've gone from having organizational support and having colleagues and having, you know, some big, like big support. I don't know. I've worked in corporates and contracted into corporates. It's not the same support that I thought I would get.
No. But,
that's the problem. But did you then, you know, you've really gone out on your own and you have a business name, but predominantly it's you, right? So did you face any challenges when showing up then as Lisa?
Yes. As your brand? Yes. So I didn't know until I'd left the corporate world how my identity was so tied to those big roles, to having the big title, to, you know, people seeing you on LinkedIn with the important title. And so then you leave and it's like, so that was my identity for 20 years. And now I have to really step into something that's different. A bit from that. And I think, you know, I've been trying to build my brand over a number of years because I knew eventually I wanted to run my own business. So I had to start thinking about what would that look like and how do I want to be perceived, but still do it within the confines of big organizations where, you know, there are things I post now on LinkedIn I could have never posted as a leader in a big organization. There's just things I couldn't do. A really great example was like I have a podcast and I had a woman by the name of Cindy Gallup come on the podcast. She has a business called Make Love Not Porn and she is trying to disrupt the sex industry by showing people what real sex with real people look like. And so she's created a platform. It's a social platform for people to share their own sex videos. I think what she's doing is incredible. I think we've got a generation of boys in particular who are growing up seeing porn and seeing unrealistic body types, seeing men strangle women. Like there's a whole range of things. And so I want to be able to talk about that. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Would I have released that? Well, I wouldn't have. So, no. So I think, yeah, that challenge was really like, how do I let go of kind of that corporate kind of restraint and really step into who I think I am. And you know what? The more I do it, the more I go out, the more bright colors, the more I challenge, but challenge in a good way, in a kind way, but also give people ways to improve things, the more people who I want to work with come to me. Like it's, which is amazing, right? They will come to me and go, I love what you do on LinkedIn. I love those messages. I love the images. And they connect to that and they want to work with me. If I was creating a brand that was the same as every other HR or diversity and inclusion consultant, which is purple and blue and white and with stock corporate images on your website, like I wouldn't be getting the work I want to get. So
no. And we had a lady come to our photo shoot the other week and she was in HR and you know, my photographer colleague was like, okay, so HR, like, what are we doing? She's like, no, not HR. I was like, no, we're not doing HR. And they're like, okay, it's like, all right, we're in this photo and we're like, okay, we're trying to talk to our audience of HR. I was like, no, not doing HR. Like, yes, that's what she does. We don't need to show that at all. We just need to show her. And she's like, I like heavy metals. Like, awesome. She likes skulls. Like, talk about skulls. Like, you're still good at what you're still great at your job. It's just you have like personal interests that either will, you know, attract or deter. And I want to deter. If people don't like rainbow unicorns like I'm wearing right now, don't call me. I'm not going to stop wearing my rainbow unicorns for you.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop having hot pink hair.
No. And I wear sequins all the time. I've got
like, talking my love language. And really, the algorithm's really on to me at the moment because I'm just getting hammered with sequin clothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, there you go. We'll share a wardrobe. But oh, I really like hearing that. And I mean, for you, I'd love to hear, because I don't have very little experience in the corporate world. Mm-hmm. So how do you think personal brand impacts culture? Like, or does it even have, does it even get the day of light of day?
I think it does. If I think about the leaders in organization and I think about the culture that a leader creates in their team. And so I think it does have a strong impact. So if you have a leader who creates safety for the team to bring up issues, if the leader models behaviors that he wants or she wants in their team, that creates a different culture to a leader who doesn't give feedback, is always too busy. You know, these are examples. So I think personal brand inside corporates is very important, but I don't think they realize it. I think I think sometimes we teach this model of leadership, which is, you know, a very kind of narrow, straight kind of path of leadership that I think it's changing now. I think we are starting to say you bring your own personality, you've got to be authentic. But yeah, I think for a while it was a very vanilla kind of way of leading in organizations. And even something I'm teaching a program at the moment, which talks about executive presence. And for me, I'm like, that gives me shivers, like thinking about executive. Like, I don't like that term because I think it creates this fake kind of image of what leaders look like. And we don't want that. We want natural people who connect with people, I think.
And it's so interesting. I did a contract in an organization and I got someone else in for a contract and she was like, do I need to cover my tattoos? And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, the person interviewing you, my boss, no, she has tattoos all over her. Like, but we, you know, no, she's not married. Like, people, you know, no, that's not a problem here. But it was also a Christian organization. So I could understand where she might have been coming from, but it was allowed. But it was like, you know, and even when I went to work for them, it's like the first thing I started thinking is like, I better wear some black pants and a white shirt. Like,
oh my God. So,
like, because I'm like,
do
I'm
you
going
even
to
have
office.
That? Do you have that in your wardrobe?
I actually found a top the other day. It was like this top and this outfit. I'm actually selling. I'm going to give it away. Like, on Saturday, I'm going to the op shop. I'm done with it. This black blazer that I had, because it's like, that's the work jacket, you know, and that's the work top. And this photo popped up from like 7 years ago. And I was like, I know that I was contracting at that time because I would not wear that top unless I was going into an office. It was,
yeah, no.
Like, how like brainwashed are we?
We want to conform, right? Because we want to feel like we're part of it and we belong. I can remember when I first was really going hard on the pink hair. So a while ago now, and I went for a job interview with very pink hair. And I can remember my sister saying, what are you going to do about your hair? I'm like, I'm just going to go to the job interview with my pink hair. What would I do? What if they don't like it? I'm like, well, that's their issue, right?
Yeah.
I got the job and the manager who hired me said to me, Lisa, weren't you worried about whether we'd hire you with pink hair? And I was like, well, maybe. And he was like, well, don't you want to change your hair so that people would accept you? And I was like, no, if you hadn't given me the job because I had pink hair, I don't want to work there. And he was like, he couldn't comprehend that. He's like, so you'd miss out on a job because you have pink hair? And I'm like, well, it's
like, it, you're the one who gave me the job. Like, clearly you have a problem with, like, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just, yeah. It's fine.
Oh, it's like, it's 2023, people. I mean, I don't know when that was, but it's like, it's still, mindset is still there. Absolutely. And that limiting, you know, and even in terms of diversity, inclusion, like I said, like my project straight away was like racial, like what we think of as diversity, inclusion, like, and I won't even go, like, I didn't go gender. And then, you know, we're talking about sexuality as well. It's like that is diversity and a minority and all this sort of stuff. So it's, it's interesting where our biases and all that live. But I know we're running out of time. So I want to just ask you, what is a tip to the audience? You know, if you were working with either an organization or an individual, like, what would you be saying if there's one thing they can start to think about to be more focused on diversity and inclusion?
I would say start with yourself. So if you're a leader in an organization and you want to do better, or or even if you're not in a leadership role, like what could be one thing that you do better? And it could be as simple as someone new started, they're very different to you, you've never met them, why don't you go and ask them, would they like to have a coffee or have lunch and understand their experience and their challenges and help them navigate the organization they've joined. Another simple thing you can do is think about your network. Who's in your network? If you're a white woman, a Caucasian woman, is your whole network Caucasian women? Mine often is, not just Caucasian, but a lot of women because I love working with women. But is that helpful in terms of being able to hear different views and get the advantage of working with different people? No. You need to have men in your network. You need to have people of different sexualities. You need to have, because that makes a difference, and then you start learning.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you can do simple things.
Love it. That awareness piece, isn't it? Just going, oh, and looking at it. And
yeah.
I don't think it has to be with judgment either. It's an observation, but that we understand why, like I'm similar to you, why I'm tending to, you know, and people sort of go, I had a man on my podcast recently and he's like, this is like, there's not many men. And I was like, no, there's not. And, you know, that could be a choice, or I was like, I can add some diversity in that way. Or
when I started my podcast, the first, I think, two seasons were all women. And then I went, okay, this is not good. I can't have a diversity and inclusion podcast and I only talk to women. So then I did a whole series of men, only men, and it was fantastic. And now I have lots of different people. It's really great.
I love it. Yeah, we're just looking, like taking like awareness and then make a slight change. Thank you. How do we get in contact with you, wonderful Lisa?
Oh, there's a few ways. I have a website, which is www.thecultureministry.com. I'm also very active on LinkedIn, and that's a great way to contact me, either through my personal page, which is Lisa Mulligan, or through the Culture Ministry LinkedIn page.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. You always make me think and reflect and, do better. So
thank you. You do the same for me.
we ever need to have a little bit of a thing. It's never going to be a light conversation though, is it?
No. I'll come back again.
Yes, please. I would love that. Yeah. Have a wonderful day and thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Thanks, Emma.
Thank you for joining me today for another episode of Live and Love Your Brand. I'm so grateful that you've shared your time by listening today. That means so much to me. And if you're loving what you're learning, I would be so appreciative if you'd leave a review, rate this podcast, and subscribe. It really shows me that you care, but it also helps other listeners to find us too. Again, please be sure to connect with me. I love hearing from you and getting to know your story. You can connect with me on Instagram at @lovelycomms, Facebook, Lovely Communications, and please do join the gorgeous community, Live and Love Your Brand, our Facebook group. Or if you're ready to take action now and want to improve how you show up in the world with your brand, then head on over to lovelycommunications.com. Again, lovely is LOVELLY, communications.com, to learn how you can work with me. My clients have gone on to experience opportunities that they could never have dreamed of. From starting businesses to taking leadership in their own life, they have found the confidence to stand in who they are and to go wholeheartedly after what they truly want in life. And I want that for you too. If you're ready to invest in yourself and reconnect with who you are, then let's chat. Thank you again for listening. Now go into the world and share the beauty that is the uniqueness of you. Catch you next week, lovely.